This is tape two, side two of an interview with Dr. Henry Altshuler. Tape two, side one of an interview with Dr. Henry Altshuler, 538 North Wynwood Avenue, 19096, MI20668, done on March 17th, 1981, interviewed by Josie Fisher. Can you tell me what your experience was at this camp?
This was a small camp. It was about 200 people, 160, 180 people, depends.
Both men and women?
No, men, only men. Mostly people from Lvov. And the people they brought from our neighborhood and from the surrounding villages. And our duties in this camp were to clean up the road to Germany, the main highway to Germany, to Russia, excuse me. This was the main highway to Russia. We had to go to the highway, clean it up from the snow and everything else. So it was a murderous task. It was very cold. This was a winter when we experienced weathers of minus 41 Celsius.
This was the winter of what year then?
Of 41 of to 42.
The winter of 41 to 42. What kind of clothing, what kind of food, what kind of living conditions did you have?
The clothing was whatever we brought from home. There was no specific clothing, only what we brought from home. Food, we were given in the morning a little bit coffee, a piece of bread. During lunchtime, we were given some soup, mostly water. At some places, if you found a potato, you were very lucky. In the evening, again, coffee, no bread. And a lot of people were actually starving. I knew a peasant, Jewish peasant, who was always hungry. He used to steal bread, he used to steal everything, food. And one day he decided to go to work, and he froze to death. He couldn't do anything. He just committed suicide.
He froze to death while he was working.
No, while he was working, he lay down in the snow, he wouldn't die. He wouldn't move. He was a big fellow. He needed some food. And in this camp, I the first time in my life I saw two people being shot in my eyes.
Why were they shot?
Because there were some people escaped from this camp, and there were two people who were sweeping the floor of the camp, the grounds of the camp, and the guy, this SS man, Fox, this was his name.
His name was what?
Fox. His name was Fox. He came around, he was mad, he says, I must kill somebody. And he shot this 18-year-old boy and a 48-year-old man. And I saw it, I puked. This is the first time I saw I got temperature. I got sick. So, and this is the camp, the first time that I was beaten by the Germans.
What happened?
I was working in a inspector was filing the, they had the saws to cut wood. And I was trying to make the saws sharper, sharpening the saws. And I, you know, you work all day, I rested a little bit. And the German came in and he says, "Why don't you work?" I said, "I'm working." He says, "No, lay down. 25 on my ass." I got 25 hits on my...
With what?
With a leather, this is a bull whip. The leather whip, the bull whip, 25 on.
Was there any way of taking care of wounds from something like that? Or did you have to nurse it yourself?
No, I have to nurse it everything myself. There's nothing to do. You have to do everything by yourself.
You said that there were two people who were successful in escaping.
Yes.
Did you know of any other kind of attempts to escape or resistance that was going on within
from this
camp?
Maybe there were some, I don't remember. But during my tenure over there in this camp, and later we had typhus. Typhus broke out, and it was a killer. Typhus, not typhoid fever.
Yes.
Typhus. Louse from lice. But we had lice. I'm telling you, you could come into the house and pick it up just like that. So lousy, it is just a shame to we used to have autoclaving, sterilization. So we used to get undressed and they would take the clothes and put it in the autoclave. It was worse because the temperature apparently in the autoclave wasn't high enough to kill the eggs. It was actually warming up the eggs.
Did you get typhus?
No, I didn't get typhus.
How long were you in this camp?
I was in this camp until March. My mother bought me out from this camp.
Your parents were still in the same village?
No, in the same village, yes.
And she was able to buy you out of the camp?
Yes.
Were there any other things about the camp that you remember?
The typhus, of course.
Yes.
Oh, there was also another disease. Something that grew, a parasite that it grew under the skin. I don't remember what kind of parasite. And the people used to get it was awful. Of course, the beating was tremendous. They used to beat and shoot. We used to have two Ukrainians, we used to call them sadist number one, sadist number two. They were really sadists, I'm telling you.
The Ukrainians were in charge of your work details or the Germans?
No, the Germans were only supervisors of the camp. But the Ukrainians were in charge of the whole thing.
Any Poles involved?
No Poles involved.
Do you have any memory of any religious ceremonies or worship services that were going on
yes.
among the people?
Yes, I remember. When this boy, I told you, who froze to death, died.
Yes.
We went behind the camp to bury him. And we used to say Kaddish. And the Ukrainians would scream, "Get away from here." And we stood fast, we said the Kaddish and he screamed, he yelled, he kicked, and he couldn't do anything. No, there was Otherwise, there was nothing. Oh, they used to have their favorite torture. Used to come at night, inspect the cleanliness of your feet.
How did they do that?
They would go from bunk to bunk. There wasn't bunks. This wasn't bunks. This was also just bunk. There wasn't bunks. Single bunks. It was just big.
What, a plank?
Planks, big planks of wood, and people were sleeping. And a straw and a top. Another.
Two rows. Two levels.
And the people used to urinate from up. It was very cold.
They would urinate on the wood.
On the wood, it would come down to the other people. It was, and if you wanted to go outside to the toilet, it was dangerous because they could shoot you. So it was terrible.
It was slatted wood then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they used to, they didn't like you, for example, they wouldn't like your feet. They were dirty, mm-hmm. according to their take out. If you're 25 and less.
What kind of facilities did you have for cleaning yourselves?
No facilities.
There were no facilities. Did you have any blankets? Anything at all to cover yourself? Just the clothes that you had worn when you entered the camp? How did you find out that you were freed from this camp?
From the Judenrat, these people used to come down and they told me.
The Judenrat came?
Judenrat, yes, in the Jewish community.
The Judenrat in that specific village? Or?
No, the Judenrat in that village from the Hector of Grushka, where the camp was.
Yes.
There was a Judenrat. There was a Judenrat in a little town, Przemyślany. It was another town, Przemyślany. It's Przemyslany.
And a representative from that Judenrat
came to the camp and told this commandant that he has these people. He had that much money or whatever he had.
There was more than just you who was then released.
Sure. About five people. Excuse me.
Sure. The Judenrat had received money from families in order to get you all discharged from this camp?
Yes. The mother sold her earrings, her diamond earrings, and she sold it. And for this money, he was able to buy me out from the camp, which meant nothing. This was nothing because it was only was 2 months, 3 months freedom. But
you then went back to the village where your parents
yes.
were living.
But in the interim, when I went to Przemyślany, back to Przemyślany, first I went to Przemyślany from the camp. I stayed overnight in the house of a friend of mine. Who used to go to school with me in Lemberg, in Lwów. And I said, what happened to him? She says, they took him away and we don't know. He was a wonderful boy, one of the brightest boys I've ever seen, I've ever met.
And this was his mother who
told you? His mother
you.
And father, yes. They gave him this bed. I slept in their house. I also met some people from our town, neighbors of ours.
Were you able to find out any more about what was happening to your town from these people?
No, it's They didn't know anything about it. I only found out about one of my best friends that he was arrested by the Russians. And he died in Lemberg.
He was arrested by the Russians and died in what way in Lemberg?
In Russian prison. Because the Russians murdered some prisoners.
Why do you think that was going on?
We don't know why. The Russians did some atrocities too.
Once the Germans had invaded Russia, did the Russians change the way they talked about the Germans' attitude towards the Jews?
Sure.
Did they tell you any more about what was going on with the Germans as far as the Jews were concerned?
The Russians? Well, they didn't talk too much about it. They talked only about the fascist, nothing very much.
What happened then?
Then we stayed about 2 days in Przemyślany, and by truck we went to Lemberg, to Lwów. And we stayed in Lwów in the Judenrat, over there. And over there we found out the camps.
You found out about which camps?
There are camps.
This was your first knowledge then?
Yes, about camps, that they're taking Jews out to camps and killing them. For example, about Treblinka, about Auschwitz. This is the first time I found out. And from there we went again by truck to Jaworów. From Jaworów we went to Niemirov. And from Niemirov we went by another truck to Hrubieszów, to this little town, this little village we left. I came home. Of course I took all my clothes, what I had, everything burned. I saw my parents, of course, my aunt.
How had they been treated during the time that you had been in the camp?
It was very hard for them.
The Germans had occupied the town.
The Ukrainians were doing all this. The Ukrainian administration.
It was a Ukrainian administration. And then?
But the only thing that helped us, our family, was my mother. You spoke very good German, and everybody needed something. For example, you needed something to say in German to the authorities. You used to come to my mother's, say, write me this, write me that. My mother used to write them everything, and she used to get for a piece of bread, potatoes. So this was a little help from the population. Mm. Well, this is it.
And what happened next?
The police came again. They took me again to Lubaczów.
This is after how much time?
3 months, 4 months, I don't remember exactly.
During that period of time, were you or any of your family members able to work in any way, to get any kind of money?
No, my father couldn't work and my mother couldn't work. My brother was his wife. Was she dead? No, she wasn't. She died for 3 years. But I worked for the peasants.
How?
In the fields of the peasants' fields, I worked everything. I used to dig potatoes, dig for this, dig for that. I did every kind type of work that I could do. I worked just for food. always got a piece of bread here, a piece of bread here. So I brought it home for so my family could eat. I had a little cousin who was 6 years old.
What was the attitude of the Polish peasants towards you?
There was no Polish peasants.
These were Ukrainian peasants. What was their attitude towards you?
Well, I must say that they were very good to me especially, to us especially, because we had a very good relation. Because during the Russian occupation, where we had money, and they used to come to us to ask for some food and something like that. My mother used to give them always food, and they remembered it.
Mm.
There was one peasant, and he was a known thief in the village.
He was what?
A known thief.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I came from the camp, he gave me the last potatoes. He was so good to me. I'll tell you later what he did for me. So they took me back to Lubaczów.
Yes.
And from Lubaczów to Rabruska. But in Rabruska they released me. Because I was already in one camp.
And where did you go then?
Came back to home. And then it came close to 43. And we all had to move to Lubaczów, to the ghetto.
What was that like?
It was, I don't know what to say. It was a few streets, not surrounded by anything, but just a few outlying streets in the city where the Jews were used to live. Nobody could live there. No peasant was living there. No Pole was living there, no Ukrainian was living there, only the Jews.
There was no boundary?
No boundary, no.
How did you get from the first village to this ghetto?
By horse and buggy.
The horse and buggy that you had?
No. We rented a horse and buggy.
And how many of you were taken?
Seven from our family, and the rest of the Jews
from the area. And what was your experience then in that ghetto?
It was loud. Always see the same people. I met one girl from a very nice young lady from Lviv. She was living near the school where I used to go. So we became friendly, we used to go out together. There wasn't where to go.
No.
I used to go out from the ghetto, used to work.
You could work outside the ghetto?
I was sneak out from the ghetto and work.
And you could get away with
yes,
that?
Yes, I got away from it.
And what kind of work could you do?
Some people's cut wood. Do certain things for people. What they needed to do, I would do.
Who was administering this ghetto?
The Germans. But the Ukrainian police was in charge of it. And there was a Jewish police.
What was that like, the Jewish police?
They were in charge. They had a lot of power.
What was their general attitude towards the Jews? Did they have any sympathy? Were they any crueler? Did it depend on the person?
It's very difficult to say. some there were animals and some were nice people. But in general they were nice people. But there were some misfits. The people in a situation like that gave him an outlet to do something wrong. They would do any place. But by and large they were nice people.
You had rations in the ghetto?
Yes, rations in the ghetto.
And what were they like?
The small rations, potatoes.
Did you have any contact with family or friends outside of the ghetto when you were in it?
Contact with my family?
Any family who was not in the ghetto, in family in other villages or other ghettos?
No, there wasn't. There wasn't any other. There wasn't. Everything in this part of Poland was everything in ghetto. There was already, everything was in ghetto.
Could you have communication with any of the other ghettos?
Yes, there was a communication with the ghetto, sure.
What happened then?
In the ghetto?
Mm-hmm.
So I worked a little bit. And finally, in 1943, there was one morning. My mother told me to get out from the house, because they are going to surround the ghetto and they are going to take us to the train. They are going to take us to Belzec. With the gas chambers.
To Belzec?
To Belzec. This was a gas chamber. Yeah, you heard about it. It's one of the biggest gas chambers in the world.
Yes.
And about half an hour later, the Germans came and surrounded the ghetto. They took all the Jews together. I wasn't home.
Your parents didn't leave?
No.
Why?
Where would they go?
Where did you go?
I went to a pharmacist's house. I was hidden in this house.
This was
a Ukrainian. He didn't know about it. I was sitting in his house, he didn't know about it.
How did your mother find out about this?
People were coming, saying things.
But they didn't attempt to find somewhere to hide also? Were your parents then deported on the train? Did you find out what happened to them? How did you find out?
Spoke to people. I saw them going to the train. To the train.
What about the rest of the family that was in the ghetto with you?
Everybody went.
And this pharmacist, the Ukrainian pharmacist, hid you?
He found out later that I was in his house. He couldn't do anything about it. And I stayed with him for another day or two. And later his sister or somebody from his family went to the village to Hrubieszów. So I went up beside with the sled and the horses and went to Hrubieszów. And I went to this peasant, to this thief, to his house.
The one you mentioned before.
Yes, I went to his house. I came about 12 midnight to his house and I knocked at the door and he said, "Who is it?" I said, "Henry." So he says, "Wait a minute." He said, "Ukraine, poczekaj." So I said, "Okay." So I waited. He took all the children out from the room, told to go to the other room. He brought me into the house. It was warm. He put me on the in this, on the stove. They had the stove, you could lay down on the stove. It was very warm. He says, lay down, relax. You'll fix something. In the meantime, I don't want anybody to know that you are here, because they are looking already for Jews around here. So I stayed overnight until the morning. In the morning, he told me to go to his stable. A lot of hay and straw. And he had one son, a 7-year-old boy, very bright.
Interview with Dr. Henry Altshuler. You're telling me about the Ukrainian boy.
Yes, and he used to, this little boy, 7-year-old boy, used to bring me every half an hour, a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, so I should be warm. And then towards the evening, he brought me back home, and he said, what are you going to do? I said, could you take him with a horse and buy to Niemirov, the next little town? He says, I don't have a horse, because he's a poor man. But I would say, I will take you to the village, so nobody will touch you. So when it became dark, he took me through the village. He gave me cigarettes, he gave me money. And he says, this is Godspeed. I hope I will be able to see you.
Where were you going to go?
I was going to Lemberg, to my brother. My brother's wife was killed. In the meantime, they killed my brother's wife.
How did they kill her?
They shoot her.
This is right in the town?
This is in Sundovavishens, another town. And he was already a member. He was on Irish papers. He had papers as a Pole. Which means he had a birth certificate as a Pole. See?
Yes.
And he looks like a Pole. My brother looks exactly like a German.
Yes.
He's blonde, blue eyes and everything. So he never went to a camp. And he was, so I went to my brother.
He had what kind of papers?
Polish papers.
Polish papers.
We call it Irish papers, Irish. Aryan papers, Aryan.
Okay. All right. I see. So you went to him, and what happened then?
He found me some place to live. It was very bad. I was living there for a month, and it was getting dangerous, so he got me another place. I was living in another place, and finally, there was a razzia.
Excuse me for 1 minute. Sure. The places that you were staying, were these homes?
Of Poles.
Of Poles. Polish Christians. And what was their attitude towards you in hiding you? Were they sympathetic? Were they doing it for money?
They were doing it for money. And it was very bad. And finally, after being on freedom, so-called, quote-unquote,
yes,
freedom, I was caught again in Lemberg and brought into the camp in Lemberg.
You were put in a camp
Lemberg.
In Lemberg?
It's a big camp in Lemberg. And in this camp I worked until 43.
This was in 43?
43 until November 43.
What month was it that you went into the camp then?
I think March. March or April.
And what kind of work did you do there?
Any kind of work. Every kind of work. Whatever there was to do. I volunteered every kind of work.
What were the conditions like in this camp?
Horrible. But I was strong. I was young. I was strong. I could withstand a lot. Didn't matter to me anything. But there were times that I wish I were dead. There were times. In 43, this was November 43, I was working in a riding academy, cleaning up horses, after horses. Let's say, this was a little bit out of town, and right near the riding academy was a Polish family, a little house with a Polish family. And I used to, during lunch, I used to cut wood for them, do everything for them. And they used to give me bread and soup. And one day I said to them, "Well, I won't see you anymore." He says, "Why?" Because I say, "Because they are going to destroy us tomorrow." He says, "Why don't you stay with us?" I say, "Do you mean it?" He says, "I mean it. Stay with us." So I stayed with them.
How did you find out that they were going to destroy you the next day? What was?
Because you knew it. In a camp there was always a grapevine. You knew about what is going to happen.
And what did that mean? They were going to kill you at the camp?
No, they're going to take us out from the camp and shoot us in a certain spot. 16,000 people.
And did this happen?
Sure, it happened.
They killed 16,000 people
young
the next
people.
Day.
The oldest was 26.
Was this also a camp of men? Of
men
young
and
men?
Women, men and women.
Men and women. Was there anything different that you might be able to tell us about this camp from the first camp that you described?
Well, this was a camp, number one, it had about, it went to this camp, about 250,000 people went to this camp. And this camp was run by Warzuch, brother-in-law of Himmler, who was a vicious murderer.
Were the living conditions similar?
Like in any camp. No food and work.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be a time there was a commandant, there was one of the commandants over there, Wilhaus. This is the Wilhaus that Leon Ure describes in the book. He wrote the book, the first book he wrote. Uris.
In Uris, Leon Uris.
Yes. This was his first book.
In Exodus?
Exodus. He describes Wilhaus, Capizzaro. He describes another assessment. Those are all regular names. These are the true names of the people that he describes. I mean, his is fiction, but the names, certain names that he describes, the assessment, those are true names.
These are real people.
Yeah.
Did you have the beatings and that kind of experience there as you did in the first camp? The same kind of behavior?
Shooting and beating.
What happened then when you went with this Polish family?
I stayed with them until 44 March. When one day she came into the house, she says, "You have to get out from the house because the Germans are looking for people."
You were with them from November of 44 until March of 44. And you were able to work for them during that time?
I was hidden.
Hidden.
And they were very nice. He said, "You have to go out." So I went out to the park. And I was recaptured again by the Germans.
What happened then?
So? I was actually put to death. Oh, don't get scared. It was, I'll tell you what happened. It was Hitler's birthday. It was April 20th. And I was taken right into the prison.
The prison in?
In Lemberg.
In Lemberg.
Lonsky prison. L-O-C-K-I. It's actually L-A-C-K-Y-I. C-K-I. Because this is, in Polish, it is A with a little apostrophe underneath the A. It is A, it is on.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the way this went. Lonsky prison. So I came in there. I was beaten up, roughed up by a young German. Because one thing, he asked me something, and I didn't say bitte, I said was. I didn't say bitter, I said bad. So this was insulting to him. So he taught me a lesson in German. So anyhow, next day I was put into the death cell underneath the prison. There was a death row. In the death row, in the cell, I found three people. Two Jews in a one Tatar. The Jews were also from the 1008 Commando. You know what 1008 Commando is? 1008 Commando was a special commando that the Germans formed. They were actually of the grace of the people who were killed by the Germans, the hostages and everything, and in the beginning of the war, they had a lot of hostages, Poles and Jews. They were digging up the graves and they were burning the graves. And these people were chained by the legs.
Mm-hmm.
And these were called 1008 Commando.
And their job was to dig up the graves
and burn the bodies.
And burn the bodies.
And they were burning the bodies of French prisoners, of Italian prisoners, and so forth. So on. And there was an escape from this camp. And there was a reward for catching anybody from this group. If you caught a Jew, you used to get a bottle of vodka. As a reward for catching a Jew.
Any Jew?
Any Jew.
Any Jew.
Jew. And for catching a 1008 commando Jew, would get a bottle of vodka and 1,000 zlotys.
How do you spell that kind of...
What?
The commando, the word that you're saying.
1008 commando.
Yeah.
1008.
1008. 1008.
Yes.
Like the number.
1008.
Okay. Thank you. What happened?
So there were these two Jews from the 1008 commando, and there was this Tatar, and I came in with them, and I said, what is going to happen to us? He said, we are going to be shot. I said, okay. So, and the Tatar was, he was a Russian soldier who went to the Germans, who served the Germans during the Second World War II. The second World War II, he was taken prisoner by the Russians, by the Germans. He was wounded. So he says, I'll go to work for the Germans. But he wasn't working for, because he was a communist. He wasn't working for the Germans. He was just using this as a pretense.
Was he a spy?
No, he wasn't a spy. He was a communist. He said, I'm a communist. Я не хочу работать германцев. He burned several cars, he got drunk and this and that, and they put him to prison. He was shot.
He was shot.
3 days later he was shot. And I was sitting in this prison about 5 days. And the fifth day they came in and he says, Alec Lamotte meet, and take all the things together, get out. You are going someplace. So we got into the garden over there in the prison. There were five people. There was one more Jew, one more boy came in, and three Jewesses, three girls. There was one girl was about 18 or 19, beautiful. And one was about 35, something like that. And one was 55. He was a woman who was married to a Pole. And he got tired of her. He gave her to the police.
What happened to the other two Jewish people from the
1008 commando? They were shot.
They were shot.
Yes.
Okay.
So we went. We went to the camp.
Now which camp is this?
The camp that I escaped from.
Back to the same camp.
Same camp. We were put into the gates of the camp were hanged on two posts. And the posts were completely empty inside. You see? So he opened the doors. There were doors. See, could I draw it?
Yeah.
Oh, see, it was like that. And here was the gates. The gates were hanged and these poles. You see, and this was empty inside.
It was a
hollow
post.
Oh, oh yes. it was
on which the gates were attached.
Yes, exactly. And there was a door to it.
There was a door?
Yes.
It was to the post?
Yes, to the post, yes, a door. So they put us into this place. It was actually very little space for 5 people.
5 people were in each of these
yes.
tiny
posts? In one of these posts.
5 people
yes.
were in each one
yes.
of these posts?
Yes. So we were there sitting for about 2 hours, 3 hours. And finally the gentleman came out from who was on guard. He says, are you hungry? I said, yes. I might as well die on an empty, not an empty stomach, I wanted to die. So I said, yes. He says, okay, I'll call the kitchen, they will bring us some to eat. So he called the kitchen, they brought us bread and coffee. And half an hour later he came, there's a big sandwich with meat. He says, heute ist mein Geburtstag. Today is my birthday. Yes, this is for you.
He gave you a sandwich
yes,
with meat?
Yes, a sandwich with meat. He looked, you would give him, for his look, we would give him 25 years right away. But he was the sweetest man of them all.
This was a young German soldier?
An SS man. And he told us, would you like to go to the latrine? He said, yes. At first I asked him, could we have a cigarette? He said, sure. He gave a cigarette. And I said, here, can I pick up the butts? He says, come out, I'll pick up the butts, I'll give you cigarette paper and everything. And so we had quite a few butts, and we had some cigarettes. So he says, why did you let yourself get caught today? He says, the Russians are already 40 kilometers from the city, he said to us. So I said, well, the Gestapo caught us, we couldn't do anything. So he says, those bandits. He says, if I could do something for you, I would do it for pleasure. And I couldn't do anything. He said, what will happen to us? He says, I'm sorry, we will be shot tomorrow morning. So while we went to the latrine, we were sitting in the latrine, and the latrine was two-sided. You could go get from this side and from the other side to the latrine. So from the other side, the Jews came in, who were in the camp already. There was about 70 Jews, 50 Jews, I don't remember how many. And they came in and said, from where are you? They always asked, where are you? Say, never mind, what is going to happen to us? They said, they will shoot us. So far, every transport for the Jew from Jews who came from camp, from prison, was shot. So far.
Any time Jews from a prison, from outside the camp, would come in,
they would shoot. Yes. So I said, so what are our chances? This is very slim. And he said, how many Jews are there? He says, about 60 or 70. I'll tell you exactly how many there are. I said, I can count. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 16. Actually, there was about 24 Jews. Jews and Jewesses.
There were 24 Jews from the camp
yes.
who were in the latrine.
Yes.
Yes. In addition to the 10 of you.
Yes.
Yes.
The 5 of us.
5 of you.
5 of
yes.
Us. So they came to us. They were living in a little house. There was three shoemakers. They were about 2 tailors, 3 farriers. There was a woman. There was a little boy, 5-year-old boy, beautiful boy. And next morning, we got up.
You went back to this post?
To this post. We stayed all night in the post. I started to pray a little bit. And this Olga Hauser, she said to me, don't worry, honey, this will take only a second. Yes, one shot and it's all over.
This was one of the women who
yes,
was with you?
This young girl.
The people that you mentioned before, these were only part of the people in the camp, or is this is who was left in the camp? The 24 Jews that you talked
this,
about?
These are left. These are actually people who were brought into the camp after the camp was completely destroyed. They were brought from other towns.
So that was all that was left in this camp in Lemberg,
yes,
were the 24 Jews.
24, 25,
plus
30.
I see.
And they took us in the morning to the latrine again.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want us to serve their clothes. And we went to the hall. Because we didn't have a crematorium.
Where was the hole?
In the camp.
In the ground?
Yes, in the ground.
Inside the camp?
Yes, inside. And they told us to undress. Started to undress. I was already in my underwear. And all of a sudden, somebody came on a horse. His name was Bittner. I assassinated his heart. Unseen. He says, get dressed. So I thought maybe they're going to torture us first. So we went back.
All of you were together at this point?
5 people. We came back. And we waited for the commandant. We waited, I remember. I was standing with Lester. The boy was standing and the retriever. I was standing and all of a sudden he had a big dog and a little dog. The little dog came up to me right away. He knew me from previous. He started to jump around me. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. Finally, the old man came in. He looked at me. He says, Heinrich, wo warst du? He says, where were you, Heinrich? I said, I was in forest. He says, a partisan? I said, yes, a partisan. Partisan. He said, "Wolltest du arbeiten? Do you want to work?" I said, "I work." So he says, "Give him some clothes and some shoes and let him go to work."
Who was this? Who was?
The Bartok, this commandant, Himmler's brother-in-law.
Had you ever talked to him the first time that you had been in the camp?
Sure, I was in 43, I was in camp.
Yes.
I used to be a mechanic in the camp.
He knew you then?
Sure, he knew me then because I used to fix his locks, his everything. He knew me then, so... I remember he hit me once with a pitchfork over the back. He almost killed me. He was a ruthless killer. A killer.
Why do you think he let you work at that point?
It was luck. So I said to myself, boy, if he lets me live, I will have to escape from this camp. If it is the last thing I do, I will have to escape from this camp. And he asked the other one, what are you doing? And everybody, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this. Finally, he let everybody go. And he said at the last thing, he says, if one from you escapes, you will all be shot, he said. So the reason he let us go, I'll tell you what, he had potatoes in the camp. And in Poland, they store potatoes over the winter because they don't have storage place. They store them outside. like that. It looks like that. You see, they put him into. Triangle, you see?
Mm-hmm.
It is covered with straw and with soil.
This is how they would store the potatoes,
yes.
In this.
And
in
apparently
the
they didn't cover it very well, and they were going bad.
Yes.
He had a lot of people to feed.
Yes.
He had a lot of soldiers to feed because he had flag artillery in the camp.
Flag artillery.
Yes. Anti-aircraft artillery. So he had to give them to eat. So he needed Jews to make it
and
make it good. So.
And this is how he saved your life,
exactly,
or why he saved.
Exactly. This was the only reason. And so we started to work on this, and working on this, we were also always beaten. There is some assessment. Pure animals. Animals, I'm telling you, it's just unbelievable. Just, it's difficult to describe. And about 3 months later, I went to work into the magazine of the, to select the clothes from the dead people.
You were still in Lemberg. The other people that you mentioned before, were they permitted to live also?
Yes, they were living.
Okay. And who are the dead people now that you're talking about?
From the camp, all the people from the camp, from Auschwitz, from
the other camps.
From other camps, all the people, I've seen people who died, children, special children, you will see the blood stains from blood and the colors. Yeah. So we had to segregate the clothes into good, into rags,
mm-hmm.
into semi-good. So what we did, there were three of us working, used to tear it apart. Only a few clothes we used to give it to them, to the service.
Mm.
But we used to find a lot of money in the clothes. Here.
In the breast pocket.
Yeah, not in the breast pocket.
In the seams, in the seams of the clothes,
we
you would find
a,
money.
Yeah, we found a lot of money. We found a lot of arsenic, a lot of cyanide,
mm.
and there was a very interesting case. There was one of a new group of people who arrived from prison. A mother was. Three daughters. The daughters took on the way from the prison to the camp. They took cyanide and they took arsenic. All three in the mother. Nothing happened to the mother. One daughter lived in the camp for about 2 hours. She died, and the daughters died. And the mother couldn't.
The arsenic didn't work on
didn't
the mother.
Work. And working with that was a lucrative business because we were getting money. I used to take the money. I had a girlfriend, a Polish girlfriend.
You had a Polish girlfriend?
In the camp.
Who was a prisoner in the camp?
Yes, a prisoner.